glimpses of nature, what do you see? Between in the studio by upcoming artist Chloe Ho, as she an art exhibition, Forces of Nature, what do you see? Between now and the 30th of June at the 3812 Contemporary Art Project, which is located at Wong Chuk Hang Road. More details coming up later. Chloe, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for coming in. I was praying for the weather to clear up, because when I tried to book you the previous weeks, it was already sort of rainy. I was like, oh, please let my guests have good weather, because I know it's all the way here in Kowloon Tong. But let's
your prayers were answered.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about your artwork. I've looked through so many of them online. They're very abstract. They're very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Talk us through what they are.
Well, they're different series in the show, but the main body of work is about the human figure, and that series is called Natured Embodied. And in it, I wanted to get a sense of one's internal experience, as well as forcing the viewer, or not really forcing, I would say offering the viewer a opportunity to infer visually what they see and experience from that image. And in those series of human figures, I wanted to combine everything that I found inspired me. And that includes abstract expressionism, both Western and Chinese, as well as Chinese landscapes, and both Western and Chinese studies of the human figure and images of the human figure and paintings of the human figure. So that's what I was attempting, or hopefully expressing, through that series, in the same sense that you say they're abstract, but they are somewhat familiar.
Talk about the style that you use, because it's got a very Chinese element to it. It's very sort of ink and sort of very Chinese painting-esque. I'm really don't come from an art background. I always say I never know anybody who can talk intelligently about art. You do, Chloe. Oh. So, talk us through this sort of style that you employ.
Oh, well, I would say, you know, I really love to hear about anyone's experience, whether they feel as though they are, quote, educated or can talk about it intelligently, because I feel as though art oftentimes has to be felt first before it can be explained. And often the best art can't be explained in any intellectual sense. At least not in a very concise way, right? Or not in sometimes a contradictory way. I think for me, what I was doing was trying to both take my background in terms of growing up here, and also something that I've always done. I've always done ink painting, but in a way that was contemporary and unique to what I wanted to express and my areas of interest. And also, and reference the people who inspired me, the artists that I look up to, both Western Chinese, like Francis Bacon, Wei Li Gong, also, gosh, there's so many, I could go on forever. But
you have 2:30, so we have time.
Okay. And, of course, like traditional landscape and everything like that. So when I was making this work, I wanted it very much to be an installation and to feel like a landscape of bodies, and of like the figures could be trees or scholars rocks, or could be just natural bodies in and of themselves. And in it, I also wanted to kind of deconstruct the human figure structurally. So there is a series where I do anatomy, because I feel like anatomy is very interesting also when you look at it very abstract, like the structure of human beings with skeletons and the brain and various parts of the body. When you look close, focus in on them, they're quite abstract and mechanical in a strange way too, which is...
What inspired you to draw that then?
I've always been fascinated with bodies and our relationship to our bodies, because I feel like that's ultimately the source of everything. That's where we begin, right? With how we interact with the world, and our connection with nature is very physical. You know, we share bodies that are sentient like other beings, and we can have the capacity to move and interact with our environment like animals, or to some extent, you know, anything organic. So I wanted everything in the show to feel organic and to make people aware of their own bodies. So I put mirrors in the exhibition.
Wow.
So people are aware of themselves as being part integral to the space, as well as being able to see the work from all different angles, and that kind of understanding of ourselves as an image, because we only understand ourselves as an image. We don't see ourselves fully unless we look into a mirror or a photograph, which is always an image. So our only understanding of ourselves is through an outside eye, right? When we can see ourselves in the mirror reflected back to ourselves, or in a picture that usually someone else has taken. Sometimes, though, people take pictures of themselves, but in the same way that the art figures are images like that, they're reflections of ourselves. So I wanted to bring back that point. But I also did various animals and fish in particular, because fish are very interesting to me. They're so alien, you know?
I love fish. I have a tank at home.
Oh,
and yeah,
fabulous.
I know. I love fish. They're just, I could sit there for, I don't
want to watch them, right?
Yeah, I could sit there for hours just watching them. Gosh, we're two young girls, and here we are talking
about fish. Fish. No, they're exquisite, aren't they?
They really are.
One of my favorite programs growing up was Telefishin. Remember Telefishin? You just watch the fish go back and forth with the music. And I just thought that was, I just could watch that. It was like very...
very soothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It felt like a form of meditation. But I felt like the fish being so different than us, so other than us, but at the same time so... essential to our lives, in not just in eating, but like in our ecosystem, and also symbols, like auspicious symbols, and in the West, a symbol of Christ. You know, it's a fish, or have always been very meaningful to human beings. So a lot of work is about that relationship with fish, and also something about the ink. There's certain things you can do in ink that you can't necessarily do in other mediums, but in ink you can really get fluidity and that sense of spontaneity and unpredictability that you can't necessarily get with oil, because it's like it's like life. Once it happens, it happens. You can't take it back.
I was going to say, what happens when you make a mistake?
It's done. You just, you know, either
just
you have to work
with
it or you have to destroy it. And, you know, that's what life is too. I mean, obviously you can't get rid of, you know, what you just did, but you have to work with what's happened, and you don't have another chance. And so in that moment, you have to be completely focused, and there's an element where there's a lack of control. And, especially in how I work, because in some of the works where I use ink and brushes, like a typical ink painter, some of them I would just go directly from the ink bottle to the paper, like kind of like a Jackson Pollock style. So in that way, you always get that impact that was not the same as you anticipated. And you get unexpected results. But at the same time, that's what made it more beautiful, because this sense of it's just occurring right then and there. You know, I didn't draw before, so it just had to happen. It had to be perfect, and it had to be of that moment. You know, so I had to work very fast and very
precise in a way.
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, get distracted or anything.
About Hong Kong as the climate in Hong Kong for the medium of ink? It doesn't really dry. It's so humid here.
We had that problem. I got a dehumidifier and it's full. It's like completely filled with water. It's so humid here. It's worrisome as an artist, because you don't want your work to get damaged. And but also there is some positives to it as well, because I would work with things that are kind of atypical, and because it took longer to dry, it gave you more of a time frame to work within it. So I would use coffee and ink together, like on a paper, and because it would take so long to dry, usually much longer than just using ink of itself, because I would use so much water and coffee and other things, I could create effects, you know, that I don't think I could necessarily in a different climate, in a different kind of humidity. And I think the humidity is kind of inspiring, intolerable as it feels sometimes, it makes you very conscious and aware of everything, and of being a being, you know, that is reliant very much so on the, you know, capriciousness of your environment. You know, if it rains really hard, you know, or if it's very hot, it's like you definitely get a sense of like, oh, how do I navigate that?
Yeah.
Same with the animals, I suppose, too, right? They have that same issue.
I know. We can go back to the fish later.
Back to the fish. Just talking about fish the whole time.
But I do want to ask you, Chloe, so yes. In terms of what do you want people to feel after they leave and see your installation and your art pieces? Because art is very subjective.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Everybody could, you mentioned just now, art should be felt even before it can be maybe appreciated.
Right.
As an artist, you must have a sort of a tone or a message. I don't know. It's not the same as authors with their books, but do you want people to go away feeling a certain thing, or is it really that subjective that you're very open to their interpretation? What are some of the reactions you've had so far there? Maybe let's use that.
It's very humbling, the reaction, because I feel like when you have the capacity to have your work seen, it's always, that in itself is just something to be grateful for, I feel. I mean, as an artist, of course, you have intentions. When you do a work, you imbued it with some thought, with some feeling that you want people to pick up on, or to kind of be able to somewhat relate with. But ultimately, I want people to relate to the pieces. And like you said, in a subjective way, in a way that's very personal. But I want it so that everyone can, you know, regardless where you're from. And that's what I feel is been the most wonderful aspect of this, is just seeing many different people of all different ages and cultures and ethnicities and backgrounds, whether they be, you know, in the arts or, you know, just someone visiting. They have a reaction to it. They can connect with it on some level, or they feel some emotion, which I think is always my goal. Of course, I do want people to feel as though they're seeing something that they haven't necessarily seen very often or before. And also to feel as though I've offered everything in kind of a spirit of humility and, you know, and in a way that feels as honest and immediate and authentic as possible, hopefully. But likewise, I really like the diversity of opinions. It was interesting because sometimes I feel as though, like, it takes people a moment almost, like, to react
to get it.
Yeah. Because I remember, I showed a piece to some people, and it seemed like later after they would say, oh, I really felt something from it. But at the time when they were looking at it, I feel like they were taking it in. And then later it sort of hit them. So sometimes I've noticed there is this sort of delayed response, and definitely some pieces seem to affect some people more than others.
Yeah, it must be so rewarding to hear that as an artist, as the creator of it, that, you know, so many people, so many different people from different cultures, as you mentioned, can appreciate the pieces that you've created as well.
Oh, thank
you. We're just coming up towards the news break, but before I let you go,
sure.
I want to ask you, how do you work? I mean, we talked during the song break earlier about, I've spoken to different artists before where they take pictures of strangers, or they keep a little diary and they write down movements, or they write down their observation. Is there something that you do in particular that helps you with your creative process and helps you with your art?
I feel like I work at night, and that definitely helps me because you remain undisturbed, and there's something about night that lends itself to being more introspective. And
do you not feel tired?
No, actually, I'm tired during the day. I feel like I'm just waiting for the night to begin. Honestly, I do my best work at night, and I feel like most myself at night. Because it's like a time where you can truly kind of concentrate, and you're not demanded. You're not
there's or no distracted demand. By other people.
Exactly, yeah. But actually, you process what happened during the day at night. So I feel like oftentimes what I've done during the day can lead to all my work at night, but I think likewise, everyone takes pictures nowadays, but I feel like you're always around beings that inspire you. Like, I have two cats. They definitely inspire me because they're always around, and they're moving, and they're so interesting to watch. And so, just having like two, I think, pets really inspire me, and, just being around things and looking at things, and that, you know, music for sure. I have a brain model.
I was gonna say, so something like a brain, I mean, where do you draw your inspiration from? Google images or?
Oh, I got a medical brain model. And you can open it and you can see like the, you know, all the different parts.
Wow.
And it's so, like, I would just have it sit on my table, like my dining room table. And you know, that what's led me to painting it, because I thought it was so beautiful just as an aesthetic object as well as its meaning.
So did you get the brain model before you painted the brain, or did you have the idea of you wanted to paint a brain, so you got it? How did the brain model come about and ended up on your dining table?
No, what happened was is that I was so fascinated with brains and how it's like the, you know, the seat of our identity and our memories and, you know, how we perceive things and all our senses, you know, and just this fascination led to me wanting to understand how it worked. And when I would look at like diagrams of it and read about it, and also how like different functions affect, you know, lead to what we call disparities and perhaps how we see things, like why are certain people good at one thing and certain people aren't at another, and how does your brain relate to that, and how does your brain affect, you know, how emotional you are, how intellectual you are, or what we call our personalities, right? So when I would read about it, then I definitely, because I wanted to learn about it, I would draw the parts out, and then that's what led to that. My interest in the brain led to me wanting to paint it as an art object and have people think about how they feel about their minds or their brains, which is, you know, their brain is matter, but the mind isn't, right? So I think that's very interesting that we have this concept, that abstract concept of ourselves somehow being apart from the matter of which we're composed of. You know, there's like me, but then there's my body, and then there's, you know, but they're not the same, right? Like when we complain about our bodies as if they're something that we own and that, you know, we can control necessarily in every regard, which we can't. So I think that's, you know, part of why I started painting
the brain. I'm so fascinated with this. I genuinely, but unfortunately we're coming up to the 2:30 news. Chloe, it's such a pleasure to speak to you this afternoon.
Such a pleasure.
I hope to have you back on again. Let me know when your next art exhibition. I'd be so happy to have you back on.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to be in Beijing. So I'm going to be showing at the Fine Art Asia Fair in Beijing. So that's going to be very fun, and I'll definitely let you know. And
yeah,
thank you for having me on the show.
Best of luck in everything. Yeah, best of luck in everything that you do. And meanwhile, if you want to check out Chloe's work, her art exhibition, Forces of Nature, What Do You See? It's from now until the 30th of June at 3812 Contemporary Art Project, and that's on the 10th floor on 12 Wong Chuk Hang Road. And you can call in 2153-3812 is a telephone number, and all the details is up on my Facebook page. Thank you so much, Chloe.